This is the BBC Home Service for schools. Music and movement. Now, children, are you ready?
Right, I'm off for a bit now, love.
Where are you going now? Down that betting shop again?
No, love, I'm off down pub.
Blimey, you going down that Britain Yankee again?
Aye, just for a pint and chat with lads.
Oh, the same thing. You never take me out anywhere, and there's chores to be done, and my mother's coming over, and the dog needs a walk, and the windows need washing, and I have to go along.
By heck, that woman will drive me reet mad. Right, I got me darts. Now, where's that pub?
Live from a basement in deepest Chicagoland, we're down at the local where no one knows your name. It's Pubcast at the Britain Yankee.
Yes, hello and welcome to the first edition of the Pubcast from the Brit and Yankee. It's show number one for Sunday, October the 22nd, 2006. This is the social experience of the British pub with a Midwest flavour. Hello there, I'm Phil Clark and I'm your landlord, a.k.a. US Brit. And my co-host and the cellar master is Mike Lingerfelter, a.k.a. Lingo. Hello, Lingo, how you doing?
Wonderful, Phil, how are you?
Good. How are you feeling about doing this podcast?
I'm a little bit nervous. It's different when you do segments and send them into your favorite podcast, but when you're doing it yourself, it seems to have a little bit different twist.
Yeah, that's true. Now, this podcast, we're going to try and get some news, views, and audio from around the Chicagoland area and from the Midwest, and we hope that we're going to be doing it once a fortnight.
Hey, Phil.
Yeah.
What's a fortnight?
A fortnight? Oh, you don't know what a fortnight... Oh, no, that's right, you're American. A fortnight is 14 nights, you see, once every 2 weeks. I guess we could call it bi-weekly for you guys.
Well, that'd be less confusing for me.
Yes, I guess. And essentially what we did here was we had been contributing to a podcast out in the UK for quite some time. And we decided, well, you know what, we need to focus on areas of our own. And just for the listeners' benefit, I am actually you probably guess this, I'm originally from England.
You are? I thought Australia.
G'day, mate. How you doing, all right? No, originally from England. I came over here in 1980, so I've actually been living longer in the United States than I have been living in England, which, if you figure that out, I came over when I was 25, so you can work out exactly how old I am. An old fart, thank you very much.
I can tell from the gray hair.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness gracious. Wait a second, I got it too. Hold on.
Yeah, right, there you go. And, you know, we decided, well, I kind of miss that pub experience of sitting down, having a few beers, chatting about things, you know, giving opinions, most of them wrong.
Wrong in some people's eyes, right in others. That's just it. And when you're in a pub, you're talking, even in the taverns here, I mean, everybody has their opinion about something.
That's right, and we hopefully are going to pass some of our opinions. Now, in order for us to do that, we have to open our pub doors and bring in the public. So let's open. There we go. There they are. Hello, come on in, sit down. Ooh, great.
No shoving, please.
Pardon?
They're shoving, trying
to get in. Are they
shoving?
The dirty devils. And you know what? We're going to have to get a couple of pints while we're going here. Right, hang on a sec. Bartender, couple of pints are best, please, will you? Hopefully they'll be coming over any minute now. So, like most of the Brits living in the US, I think what we miss most about England is that pub environment. And so that's why we called this audio pub, we called it the Brit and Yankee. And
here we go, sir.
Oh, wait a minute.
Pints of the best. Let me know how you enjoy those, will you, please? Compliments of the house, of course.
Oh, thank you very much. We certainly will. So I've been living in the Midwest, in the Chicagoland area, for quite some time now, and I'm actually took the dive and became a U.S. citizen in 2000. That was my millennium present to myself.
And I think that's one of the first times, actually, we had met. We had met, I think, one other time before that, because at the time, our wives worked at the same place. So we went to that party. But it was a fun time, and every time that we've all been together, it's been really nice.
That's right. And so we thought, let's give it a go here. Let's try and bring some of that pub ambience and talk about things that are going on around us and just pass opinions. And we're going to have a few segments that we hope everybody's going to be interested in, a few audio tours, and we're also going to have some music that's focused on the heartland of America. I think Chicago, despite it being the, I guess, the third city in America, I think it's the number one city in America. I think Chicago is one of the best places to live around America.
Well, thus the name, Second City. Everybody you know, thinks New York or L.A. is number one, but there's no question that Chicago is definitely up there with them.
And so when we start passing opinions, as I'm sure we're going to in future shows, this is our first show, we want everybody to send in their emails. And where can they send their emails into, Lingo?
Well, if they go, they can either go to the website and click the link on the links the contacts page, or they can just email you at usbrit@thebritainyankee.com or me, lingo@thebritainyankee.com, and we will respond accordingly, unless they're bashing our show, and then we'll just delete it and ignore it.
Yeah. Yes, and I think somebody else can tell us about it.
This is Eric from Vobes.com. I'm secretly working for the Brit and the Yankee. Send them an email, or else I'm going to come along and sort you out.
Well, thank you very much, Eric, and there's a little bit more about the Vobes show coming up later in the show.
So what's on today's show, Phil?
Well, it's pretty packed, Lingo. We'll have something for the young geeks in all of us with Spencer's Report, and we'll find out who Spencer is a little bit later on. We're also going to be talking to Bridget and Tammy, the Chicago Bites podcast girls, about where to find the best cupcakes in Chicago. And as I said, we'll also play some music with a Chicago flavor and talk about a couple of news stories from around the area and just chat about whatever floats our boat. But first, yes, we need to pay homage, or is that homage, I'm not certain, to a great influence for this podcast, Lingo. We know who that is, right?
Yes, he'll sound like he's here, but he's very far away.
I know, yes. Most entertainment today, I should explain, consists of sequels, prequels, and reruns, right? Ideas plagiarized from other material. This podcast is no exception. And this is the person we've plagiarized from. Yes, that was the theme to Vobes, and Vobes can be found at www.vobes.com. A great friend of ours, somebody who has been a great inspiration for us, and in fact has really turned us to do this because he won't let us talk on his show anymore. but we think that there's room in the podosphere for both of us. And I have to say all that because live on the line, all the way from a beach hut in Worthing, West Sussex, England, is the man himself, Richard Vobes. Come in, England! Come in, England! Are you there?
Roger! We're here! Roger!
Hello, Richard.
A rainy beach hut. I don't know if you can hear the rain.
Let's be quiet. Down. Let's listen to the rain. Oh, I think I hear it a little bit.
Tinkling on his roof.
Yes.
It is.
Somebody's tinkling on your roof, Richard. Well, Richard, how the hell are you?
To be honest, I'm absolutely lovely. Thank you very much indeed. Oh, very kind.
Good. Well, you know that, you know, for a while there, we... Oh, there goes the bloody phone. Can you keep
answer
that phone
it, would you?
Quiet?
Sorry.
Well, that just shows you it's live, you know. We'll ignore it.
Is it my agent?
If it is, I'll tell them you're not here.
Tell him I'm available for work. I need to work!
Oh, okay.
Thank you so much.
All right.
I think the bartender would grab that by now.
Not I
know. Ring
you
off
would
the
think,
hook.
Yes,
is Mr. Hunt there, please? Mr. Hunt? I may have
to... red-faced man in the corner going for the phone, look.
Yes.
Bless him.
Anyway, as we've talked about, for a while there, you inspired me to contribute to your show, and I wanted to... get on and do my own show here. Mr. Lingo is helping me do it. So,
hey, Mike!
Hey, Richard! How's the wet beach hut going?
Oh, the wet beach hut. I tell you, it's absolutely dripping down here.
Down the walls? Right.
On the inside. It's the sprinkler system. I think it's Eric, actually. Eric, are you mucking about with the sprinkler system? That's my cat! I've just been testing everything! Sorry about that. I have my own problems.
Yes, I know. Yeah, we haven't employed any staff yet. We've got a temporary bartender. Oh, by the way, do you want some beer? Would you like a pint of the best? Pint of the best? All right, hang on.
What is it? What is the best?
Well, we're not quite certain, actually, yet. we haven't decided on a final supplier yet, but hang on. Can you get him a pint of best, please? All right, yeah, thank you. All right, so he'll have that along to you.
Make sure it's nice and warm.
Oh, it will be. It's room temperature. We are consuming a couple of beverages here ourselves.
Oh, right. What have you got your end?
Let's see. I have...
Soon to come out of your end.
I have something local from the Holland Brewing Company in Holland, Michigan. Mm. Blue Goat Doppelbock. And it's part of the High Gravity series, which is really rather nice.
I bet it is.
And young Mr. Lingo over there has...
I have Hebrew Brew. It says, brewed with an ambience amount of malt
Hebrew
and hops. Okay, it's a Indian double pale ale.
And it's kosher, right?
Sure, why not? I'll be kosher in a few minutes.
That's right, because I have to explain that Lingo, it comes from a long line of, well, not really a long line, but most of his family are from the Jewish faith.
Actually, my wife's side, not my side.
Oh, right, yeah, so we call him the Rent-A-Jew, which has probably ticked off all the Jews listening to this. If, in fact, we have any Jews, please call us, please email us.
You have plenty of juju juice, though, don't you?
Yeah, we have the juju juice. Yeah, that one from... well, we're not actually allowed to talk about that on this show, because that doesn't come from the Midwest, you see. We're focusing on the Midwest
right.
In this show.
I beg your pardon. I'm sorry. Speak up. Yeah, don't give me that script again.
So, anyway, we hope that we're going to steal away a lot of your listeners. And, of course, all the listeners who got ticked off at you when you changed your format, they're going to come over to us. I know that. So
yeah, I bet they are.
But I think there's room for both of us in the podosphere. I think you're going to appeal to the UK audience, and I think that we're going to appeal to at least the person who lives down the road.
At least the two of us.
Yeah, at least the two of us.
That's it. I'm sure you'll be listening to your own material all day long.
It just gives us another excuse to get together and have another pint.
There you go, sir. One pint of op-ed for the follically challenged gentleman.
That's right. Mm. So perhaps you could tell the listeners where they can find your radio show there, Richard, and what it's all about.
I would be pleased to. Well, of course, ladies and gentlemen, you can snuggle over to Vogue.com and enjoy the lovely, delectable rants and raves of an arrogant Englishman who spouts out all his own rubbish. Frequently, Monday to Friday, here at a podcast station near you. Why not drift over and meet the crew?
And that, of course, is going to be after you've listened to our show, though.
Oh, well, of course, they've got to get through to stagger to the end of yours, and then come to Vogue.com.
All right, we certainly will. And Richard, once again, thanks a lot for being a big influence on us, and we hope that you can come on again to the show sometime when we haven't got any material.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll fill a few hours for you. No problem at all.
So it's goodbye from him.
And goodbye from me.
So we'll talk to you later, Richard. Cheers.
Yeah, take care, matey.
You're listening to The Brit and the Yankee. Yankee Hanky Panky. Two blokes drinking beer, waffling on about nothing in particular. I'm sure they'll keep you amused. Well, only for 10 minutes or so. And if you get bored with them, then you know that, of course, you can go and listen to Richard Vobes at Vobes.com. That's where sensible talk goes.
I say, landlord, a pint of your best bitter, please, and a podcast, if you have one.
All right, I've got a Brit and Yankee in Chicago.
Oh, who's that by?
That's Phil Clark and Mike Linkerfelder.
Oh, that'll do. Put it on my slate.
You ain't got a slate.
Oh, what plastic do? American Express?
Well, that would be quite apt, wouldn't it, sir?
Right, time for this.
Can I take your order, please?
Fast food for these gastronomic divas. It's time for a look at the Chicago restaurant scene with Bridget and Tammy.
Yes! Oh, I don't know what you're laughing about. Oh, maybe it's the girls. Hello, girls! Are you there?
Hello!
You're there! I can.
Yeah, we're here.
You're there, absolutely. Well, Tammy and Bridget from Chicago Bites podcast, welcome to the Brit and Yankee Pub.
Glad to be here.
And now, before we get going, can I get you a couple of frosty beverages? Hang on a sec. Bartender, can we get a couple of pints, please, and a couple of halves? Right, thank you. We'll have that in very soon. Hopefully, you'll be able to enjoy some of our beer as well.
Well, thank you for the order, Phil, but we're set.
Yes, we've got drinks of our own right here.
You do? What do you got there?
A nice gnarly head Zinfandel.
Oh, now you girls are a bit of wine connoisseurs, right?
Well, we're wine drinkers, though.
Wine drinkers?
We're so much wine connoisseurs, but we enjoy our wine. And usually we try and find something that is good and cheap.
Cheap. Cheap being the operative word.
Good and cheap. It's kind of like us, right, Linga?
That's right.
That's why we're such great friends.
Oh, hang on a minute. Hang on, the drinks are coming.
There we go, sir. Two pints of the best. Let me know how you enjoy those, will you, please?
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad you didn't bring them any drinks, because they've actually got their own. So let's have ours, Lingo. Cheers, old boy.
Cheers.
Thank you very much. Lovely.
Right.
We've got
Cheers,
our own
guys.
Beer. Well, now, let me explain that Tammy Green and Bridget Houlihan are the hosts of a podcast called Chicago Bites, which is all about dining adventures in Chicago. Tammy, is that right?
Absolutely.
Really? That's it, huh?
Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. You girls have got down half the bottle now, haven't you?
No. We're making progress.
All right.
Cheers.
Oh, there we go.
All right, see, I was waiting for the clink there. I'm, like, looking at you. The clink is our characteristic trademark, if you will, how we start every show. Because we usually drink a bottle of wine with each podcast.
We like to have a good time.
Well, and part of dining out is finding the perfect wine to go with the food that you're eating, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are a lot of excellent restaurants in Chicago.
Yeah, there are. Now, I've been listening to your podcast for a while. You've had quite a few good places on there. Now, I don't get downtown very often, but I think you recently rated one of your restaurants a 10, which is quite extraordinary, because I don't think you've done that before.
We have on one other occasion, but the restaurant was in Philadelphia.
Well, then we don't really care about Philly.
Yeah, no, except for the Philly steaks, right?
That's right.
No, it's very hard for Miss Green here in particular to give any place a 10. And so I was floored when she did give this place a 10, and I gave it a 10, too. It's a place called Samaria. It's right off the Brown Line. And it's fantastic Lebanese food. It really is.
Lebanese. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, is hummus Lebanese? Is it Middle Eastern?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. So hummus, baba ganoush, all that good stuff.
Hey, wasn't that an Emerson, Lake and Palmer album? Baba ganoush at the gates or something? Oh, these are the jokes, folks. I'm here all week. Okay. Now, recently, when you guys went on a quest, right? You went on a quest to find the best cupcakes in Chicago. I think you got the results on your website. What was that all about?
Well, actually, that started because of a declarative statement Miss Bridget made that Southport Grocery had the best cupcake in Chicago. And I looked at her and I said, where else have you gone?
Prove it, she said. And so I thrown down the gauntlet there. So we had to do something. And the cupcake crawl was a result of that bet. Tammy saying, prove that Southport is the best. So we started researching cupcake places in Chicago, and come to find out, cupcakes are really hip right now. They're very in.
There's dozens of places, and some that specialize exclusively in cupcakes. So it was a fantastic quest for us to go on.
Well,
There's no downside here.
Well, absolutely. Now you girls are what, 300 pounds apiece? No,
thank you, Phil.
No, I know that. No, I mean, after all that cupcakes, but
there was a lot of walking involved.
That's it. That's the thing. You see, you intake the calories, and if you walk them off, then you're okay, right?
And these aren't the typical like Hostess cupcakes, and these things aren't cheap either. If I remember right, some of these can be, for a few of them, it's pretty expensive actually. When you think cupcakes, but I mean, they weren't just normal little bitty small cupcakes, right?
No, these are good-sized cupcakes. And the key is to have a cupcake buddy that you can split both the cupcake and the cost. None of the cupcakes on our cupcake haul were over $3, but I've seen places in Chicago where they're upwards of $5.
Wow.
Well, and it depends on what you're looking for in a cupcake. Are you getting a dozen cupcakes for a party, or are you looking for that one specialty cupcake, a little bit of cake or paradise in a cupcake cup, you know? And so you're willing to pay a little bit more for a specialty cupcake if that is the case. And that's really what's happening, especially in the big cities, New York, Chicago. They're really kind of picking up on this cupcake craze. So we just piggybacked on it and decided that instead of a pub crawl, maybe we'd go for the sugar high.
Sugar's very popular.
So are people like going to these places like after dinner and enjoying a couple, two or three different kinds of cupcakes for like a dessert and kind of splitting them and just kind of enjoying the whole thing with them? Is there like bakeries just for cupcakes? Or are they combined with some like a regular bakery?
There are. And really the reasons people are going into cupcakes are different reasons. We've been asking people, you know, why is this popular? Why are they really interested in cupcakes? And I think part of it is they're trying to recapture their youth, perhaps, and cupcakes are small, so you feel less guilty about really splurging.
You know, I like your reasoning.
Yeah.
Well, if you go to a sit-down restaurant, you're going to pay anywhere from $5 on up for a dessert at a sit-down restaurant, so comparatively, it's not that.
That's true.
Plus, there's something, as Tammy said, as far as recapturing childhood, there's something very nostalgic about a cupcake. One of the places on our cupcake crawl, it was a dessert emporium called Sensational Bites, and they have a cupcake there that's called the Touchdown Cupcake. Now, this cupcake looks like your traditional Hostess cupcake. It's got the little white swirl on the top and the whole bit, but it's a step up. It's like chocolate ganache and some serious cream filling. So, you know, it's the Hostess cupcake for the adult set. And there's something to that.
You know, when you talked about childhood memories. When I was growing up, my mum when I was growing up in England, back in the old days, you know, my mum used to make fairy cakes. Is that a cupcake over here?
You know, I've never had a fairy cake, but I've recently been introduced to something called tipsy cakes.
Tipsy cakes?
Are you a tipsy cake?
They're Australian.
T-I-P-S-Y?
Yeah, and it's basically like a cupcake, only it's soaked in a liqueur first.
Yeah, one of the bonuses of having done this cupcake crawl is everyone's been on the lookout for new cupcake experiences for us. And, you know, we have it so hard.
Yeah, we've tried everything from places that specialize in cupcakes, like Cupcakes and Swirls, to the classic bakeries in Chicago, like Dinkles, that have been around forever and a decade.
And there's even a cupcake buffet at the Ritz-Carlton that you can go to and try.
Oh, the Ritz-Carlton. How lovely.
Yes. Well, they have an excellent tea, too. But I think on Saturday nights, you can go in and try 15 different cupcakes.
Where did you find the best cupcake? Come on.
I like the cupcake places in Andersonville. My personal favorite, because we did a top five, both of us. My personal favorite was the vanilla cupcake at A Taste of Heaven, which is in Andersonville.
Mm.
And Bridget was like, you know, shooting daggers at me because she doesn't like that place.
Well, I'm shooting daggers at her now. The proprietor there hasn't been very nice in general. Do you guys ever watch Seinfeld?
Occasionally.
All right. You know, there's an episode with the soup Nazi?
Yeah.
Everybody goes there for his soup because it's so fantastic. Well, I think we've unearthed the cupcake Nazi.
Oh, really?
No cupcakes
oh, yeah.
for you. You come
no
back
cupcakes.
One year.
No cupcakes for you.
But, wow.
But, Bridget, your favorite cupcake came from a traditional bakery.
It did. In fact, I've got a cupcake in the fridge right now from there. It's Dinkles. And, again, vanilla on vanilla. And it's one of those bakeries that's been there forever, but fantastic. Everything that we tried there, whether it was a cupcake or not, was fabulous.
And it's cheap, too.
$1.19 for a cupcake there.
That sounds pretty good. Well, it sounds like you girls are having a real wonderful time doing this. So what's going to be next? And are you going to be doing best pizza, best ribs, what else? Best deep dish?
Well, we're still thinking of our best of and whether we're going to tackle that again. But our latest adventure has nothing to do with food, actually.
No, we're joining NaNoWriMo, which is National Novel Writing Month. So we're both writing a novel in the month of November. But being true to ourselves, we're going to be writing in various coffee houses in Chicago. So we'll be reviewing coffee houses while we're writing our novels.
Well,
yeah,
that
we're
sounds
looking
good.
Yeah, places where you can take your laptop, set up, and be there for hours. We're hoping to try coffee shops and restaurants, I believe, places that we can hang out, because this novel writing experience is much more going to be a community endeavor, and we're going to need all the help we can get. 50,000 words in 30 days. Oh, good God.
Well, it sounds like a novel idea to me. Thank you. And so will you guys come back and perhaps do a regular segment for us?
We'd love to.
That sounds like fun.
You're going to have to find something that's not on your Chicago Bites website, which is where? Where's the? Give it a plug.
www.chicagobites.com.
And right now you can look at our restaurant reviews as well as results of the infamous cupcake crawl. If you want to put together a cupcake crawl of your own, our entire agenda is out there as well.
We're going to have to get you out to the suburbs sometime.
That sounds like a plan. Are you going to drive us around?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right, but we'll look for cupcake places in the suburbs.
I have no clue. Well, I think we'll find something for you, though. We'll find something good out here. What you got any ideas, Lingo?
First one that comes to mind is where we were a week or so ago at Schnitzelplatz, some of the best German food I've had in a very long time.
Yes, and actually, that's a great plug, because coming up in a future edition, I think the next one, if I can get it edited in time, is going to be our visit to Schnitzelplatz for Oktoberfest.
Well, we'll be tuning in.
All right, that sounds good. Well, you know what? Thanks a lot, girls. We appreciate you coming on. It sounds like you have got the food market all sewn up. Where's your next one? Or is that a secret?
No, our next one, we'll be reviewing a Thai food restaurant called P.S. Bangkok.
Well,
do
I
you
like
have to tune in for that one.
I do. My favorite Thai dish, I have it most of the time, is Pad Thai, which actually is the national dish of Thailand. Did you know that?
I can see why. Yeah, it's good stuff.
It is good stuff. Well, you know what? Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot, girls, and make a reservation for us next time. And now it's time for a segment involving someone you know, Lingo. Who is this Spencer chap?
Oh, he's this kid we found from these gypsies, and we bought... No, I'm sorry. Spencer is my son, presently 9 years old, extremely bright, and like his father, is also a geek. This kid, since he was born, I have had him around the computer dealing with... You know, different things like that. So he's very smart. One time when we were doing some setup for the Richard Vogue show downtown, he actually got on the computer at home and was downloading and setting up things for us to test when we were downtown. So he's very, very bright, and I'm very proud of him that he's going to be doing this report.
All right, well, let's hear what he has to say.
Like father, like son.
Hello, this is Spencer's Report, and I'm Spencer. I'm 9, my dad is Lingo, and I'm Microlingo. This week, I'll talk about me getting a computer and comparing them to you, but first, the computer that I'm going to get, hopefully by the end of this year, I've been saving for 2 years, is going to be a laptop, comparing the computers. The first computer is an E1505 dual-core from... Dell, Intel Core, 2 Duo processor. The operating system is genuine Windows XP Media Center. The memory is 1 gig shared, dual channel. The hard drive is 60 gig. The video card is a 256 megabyte. Okay, it has built-in Wi-Fi. Okay, that's it for the Dell computer. The price... is $886. The special for the Dell, it alternates between $100 off with shipping and 10% off with free shipping. And okay, the second computer is an iBook. The memory is 1 gigabyte. The hard drive is 80 gig. The modem is Apple USB modem. And the price is $1,317. That's the subtotal. Now that I finished the summary, I'm going to start comparing them and telling you which one that I would, well, that I would recommend. What I like about the Dell is the 2 Duo Core and the graphics card, because, well, I'm getting into gaming now. More games are getting more graphic. The video card, like I said before, is 256. It's not the best you can get, but it's the best I can afford. And for the Mac, it didn't give me a selection for the video card, but the memory, the hard drive, like I said before. And if you didn't know, the Mac, the security on a Mac is very good. There's only 3 types of viruses. There's only been 3 viruses. If I had to pick today, the Dell would be the one that I would pick because of the price and the video card. I mean, if you want to get the Mac, you can, but just remember, the Mac that I built was $1,317 plus tax, and I think it's free shipping, I don't know. Well, that is the Spencer's Report for this week. But remember, I always reject your reality and substitute my own. This has been one of Spencer's Reports.
Well, Well, there we go. I'm sure that Microlingo will be back very soon with another report. And now it's time to take a musical break. As you know, the infamous Mother Road, Route 66, or is it Route 66? I forget how we pronounce it. It begins in Chicago, or it ends in Chicago, depending upon the way that you look at it. Singer-songwriter David Williams traveled 66 every year, leaving Chicago to go back to Missouri, and the magical journey inspired him to write an album of songs that reflect some of the character of the Mother Road and the people and the places along it. Titled Route 66, this track is called Chicago by the Lake, and is all about the greatest city in America. Check it out.
Cruising out on Lakeshore Drive, through the loop, we'll take a ride. Walk around to Lincoln Park. Just be careful after dark. In Chicago, Chicago by the lake. Chicago, Chicago, with his sin on the bay. Elves, cars, buses, and trucks. Yachts of you have got the bucks. Lots of folks have made it home. Dillinger and Al Capone. Chicago, Chicago by the lake. Chicago, Chicago, when it's sing on the main. We got the Bears, Bulls, Sox, and Cubs. Folks don't sit out in hot tubs. They bundle up for all their worth. Blow the biggest buildings on the earth. Chicago, Chicago by the lake. Chicago, Chicago, when it's sitting on the main. Side, south, side, in between. The blues bars and the symphony. That town of words for you and me. It's Chicago, Chicago by the lake. Chicago, Chicago, when it's sing on the main. To the west, the suburbs lie. The folks there ain't stacked up so high. But they gotta work the summer long to keep the crabgrass off the lawn. Not in Chicago, Chicago by the lake. Chicago, Chicago, when it's sing on the main. When it's sing on the main.
Yeah. Yes, there we go. That's David Williams with Chicago by the Lake. And you can get that CD and hear more samples from the album by going to www.trapdoor-media.com. That's www.trapdoor-media.com. And you can also find out where David, who's based out of Denver, Colorado, actually I think it's Boulder, is playing next, alas, not in the Chicago area. And once again, thanks to David Williams for giving us permission to play that track. Okay, and now it's time for one of our favorite segments, even though this is the first time we've done it. And this is something we call...
What's on your iPod?
Yeah, so everyone's got an MP3 player. Maybe not an actual iPod, but something you can play podcasts and your fave raves on. And Lingo and I are no exception. So we're going to talk about what is on our iPod. Now, I've got an iPod. What have you got, Linga?
I have an iPod also.
Okay, well, we are slaves to the Apple Empire then. So the first pick of the podcasts for me is something that I've been listening to since the World Cup. And what that is a show that's called SoccerShout.com, and this is tagged as a daily British football radio show presented by two Brits living in the US, Phil McTonis from out of the Washington DC area, and Tony Wilde, who's out of New York. And I say they're two Brits, actually Tony is Scottish. I don't know if that counts as being a Brit, but I guess it does if you're thinking of the United Kingdom, right?
Sure, why not?
Why not, yeah. And now these guys really sit down and talk about the European soccer scene for about 20 minutes a day, and they do it daily from Sunday through Friday. And at the end of September, whilst I was doing a guest spot for Vobes whilst he was away, I spoke with the lads about their podcast and a couple of other topics, and maybe we'll play that full interview in a future show because it was pretty interesting. And I asked them, why do they call it Soccer Shout and not Football Shout, because that's what most of the rest of the world calls it. Phil gave me the answer.
The problem was just the Americans had got there first. They'd in terms of podcasts, and all the football podcasts were about the wrong sport. So, just to differentiate ourselves and make it crystal clear what we were going to be talking about, we called it Soccer Shout. Also, there's not the kind of all the media that you get in the UK and in Europe. You don't get so much coverage of British football over in America. So, I think we fill a bit of a void in the US, whereas the UK probably does quite nicely for football coverage.
Yeah, they do, and American football is covered quite well, I'm sure, but I really got into the soccer once... Oh, I should say the football. I don't know, I'm so confused. I got into it after the World Cup and got myself the Fox Soccer Channel, and now I'm watching all the English Premier League's shows on a weekend. Now, Phil and Tony provide, I think, a great preview and a review of all things European, and it's peppered with some of that great British sarcasm. Here's an extract.
I do fancy Wigan to take this. I think they're probably going to start turning the corner. And Man City, don't look that great away from home, do they?
They don't. It's difficult to pick a winner. It's a shame almost one of them have to win this game, isn't it?
It could be a draw, Phil.
It could be a draw. And actually, that's what I'm going to go for. Wigan have only won one all season, and Man City have yet to win away from home. And they've in the last four games, they've only got one draw and three defeats. So Man City are doing pretty miserably, but Wigan aren't much better. So I'm going to go for a draw on this one.
I fancy this is a pretty dull draw as well.
Yes, that's Man City, isn't it?
I don't think it's going to be the even up there with the best games of the season. So.
Well, I don't know if it actually was one of the best games of the season, but it wasn't a draw. Wigan spanked Manchester City, I think it was 3-0. And I've yet to find out whether or not their winning record or their losing record of their predictions is on the positive or negative side. But if you're interested in English football, European football, I would recommend you go out to www.soccershout.com and subscribe to the podcast. And incidentally, they also provide you with a weekly email subscription that tells you everything you need to know about the teams that are playing that weekend, and is absolutely wonderful as far as I'm concerned. Now, Lingo, what's on your iPod?
What's on my iPod? Well, I don't know if I've been listening to podcasts as long as you have. Just to clarify, so you know, you don't have to have an iPod. I started off with an iRiver, and that's what I listened to all my podcasts on, was an iRiver, and just last Christmas, I got my iPod. What's on my iPod is something that you introduced me to a long, long time ago, my very first podcast I ever listened to. And actually, this man has changed the way I look at podcasts, what I should look for, and everything like that. And I think you might know who it is just by this little clip here.
You're listening to the Richard Vogues Radio Show, the only podcast with an in-store bakery.
I just have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you'll be so thrilled. We've actually found the beer. It was well hidden, well done. Yeah, it was hidden behind the green bin. Even the dustbin men didn't take it away. Thank God for that. Jimmy, what have we just let everybody know?
We've got some lovely names here. We've got Wooden Hand Brewery, Cornish Buccaneer.
Oh!
Here's one bottle. We've got, I don't know if it's pronounced that way, Dreckley.
Dreckley.
Cornish Ale.
How about Dreckley?
Tribute, the Ale of Cornwall.
Warr.
There's a Cornish theme going on here, I don't know if you've noticed. HSB from St. Austell.
Warr.
Strong Jim Cornish Warr. Ale. Wow.
Thank you very much, Chris. That is so lovely. You can have a honk on the old happy horn. Yes, indeed. To the Neverlands.
The man really does make me laugh. His show has changed. I know some people don't like the way it's changed. I personally still listen religiously every day that it's on. And he's up over 613 shows now, I think, or over that. I started listening around. You told me to listen to this guy, Richard Vobes, on show 71.
I only hope that we can get up to 600 shows.
Yeah, well,
it's going to take a long time if we do it once a fortnight.
Yeah, maybe a few years, but you know what? He's introduced us to some really nice people, some members of his family, other podcasters, really gotten us involved. And that's why my very first pick would be the Richard Vobes show.
Well, we hope that you've heard a little bit of a mini review from both of us on a couple of the faves on our MP3 players. So next week we'll have two more of our faves that may become your faves when we find out
what's on your iPod.
Time, gentlemen, please. Last orders, if you will. Thank you.
Well, it sounds like it's almost time for us to drink up, Lingo. By the way, what were the beers that we were drinking on tap today? What was yours, Lingo?
Oh, let me reach over and grab. Hold on. Mine was Hebrew, the chosen beer. It is a double Indian pale ale with rye malt. It also says here it's a tribute to Jewish stars.
Jewish stars?
Whatever that means. I only know of a couple. So Barbara
How
Streisand.
Many Jewish stars? Yeah, there we go.
I love the Hebrew beer.
Thank you very much, yes.
But this, not really to my liking, personally. I don't know if it's because it was warm. Usually I don't mind a warm beer. But this one, it says it's got like a bittersweet. You know what? I didn't feel it. I didn't care for it.
Well, you know, you mentioned about warm beer. You know what? Most of the beer that we drink over in England is served at room temperature. And coming up in a future show, we're going to be having our own brewmaster coming on board, a gentleman by the name of Dave Glazewski from up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Hopefully he's going to tell us the proper temperature to drink beer at. I know that I enjoy drinking beer at cold temperatures when it's hot and room temperature when the beer needs to have a lot of flavor. So I'm sure we're going to have plenty of discussion about that. My beer that I drank was from the New Holland Brewing Company in Holland, Michigan, and it was Blue Goat Doppelbock. And apparently this is a beer that is a tribute to the perseverance and the billy goat toughness of those charged with the mission of bringing beer to the people. A fine, fine mission, don't you think?
A fine mission in a very large bottle.
And mine was, where were we now? I'm trying to find the ABV on this, and it actually doesn't say anything.
No.
Darn it, they don't say it, do they? 18 degrees Plato, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So anyway, we'll put that
very
down.
Very wise. And
what was yours, by the way?
Mine is actually 10% alcohol.
10% alcohol. Well, there we go. That's why you're falling off your chair. Now, before we go, listen,
yes.
I have a little bit of news about what went on this weekend. An annual event that makes my blood curl. Yes, this weekend in Chicago, the Chicago Marathon was actually run. A gut-wrenching nightmare for me, who enjoys to sit in my chair a little bit more than I should do, I suppose. But how about you? Were you in it there? Were you in it, Linga?
I was in it right up until I rolled out of bed and saw it was 40 degrees and I'm about 90 pounds overweight and said, you know what, I can walk to the bathroom, but that's about it.
Yes, in fact, marathons are quite a rigorous running race. And in this particular marathon, the Chicago Marathon, it was first run in 1977, and that was won by a gentleman by the name of Dan Cloter from the United States. Our time of 2 hours, 17 minutes, and 52 seconds. Now, the first foreign person, non-US person to win the race was a gentleman by the name of Joe Nazao from Kenya.
Who was killed instantly.
Who?
No, I'm sorry, no, he wasn't.
No, that was 1983. And hey, guess who won it in 1984?
Phil Clark?
No, I wish. Steve Jones from the United Kingdom, coming in at a better time, actually. 2 hours and 8 seconds. Oh, sorry, 2 hours, 8 minutes. 5 seconds.
Wow.
And we didn't win it again until 1989. The most recent one was 1995, when a chap by the name of Eamon Martin won it. So we've had quite a good showing in there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, marathons can be actually quite dangerous for you, because in the Chicago Marathon, we've actually had four deaths.
Really?
Yes, indeedy. In 1998, we had a 43-year-old woman who died because she apparently drank too much water. Now, think about that one. We'll talk about that in a minute. We've had in 2000 a 45-year-old man who had a heart attack. Now, that makes more sense, right?
Yeah.
And 2005, we had someone who died of apparent heat stroke. And you're saying to yourself, wait a minute, you're saying, right?
I'm saying, wait a minute.
That's it, exactly. Wait a minute. How come when you're supposed to be fit and able to run these marathons, you suddenly run the marathon, keel over, and die? Well, I'll tell you how. Back in 490 BC, can you remember that?
I'm trying to remember.
I think that was before you were born, about.
All right.
A Greek soldier dropped dead after running 25 miles to Athens to announce a battle victory. I wonder if he fought in the battle, you know.
Maybe that's why he died. You know, it helps with a spear in your back, you know, trying to run 25 miles.
Could be. In 1912, in the Olympics, a Portuguese marathoner died from heat stroke and probably gout from drinking all that port wine. How do you die from a heart attack, heat stroke, and water intoxication in a marathon?
Well, in Chicago, the traffic could kill you.
Well, that's true, actually, and the fumes. But actually, with a heart attack, exercise is generally known as good for your health, right?
Right.
But it can also trigger a heart attack in people who have heart disease but don't know it. Do you know of a guy called Jim Fix?
Oh, sure.
Yep, he wrote the book, The Complete Book of Running. And he died whilst he was jogging, and the autopsy revealed he had clogged arteries and an enlarged heart. So running a marathon actually injures muscle tissue. It can trigger an inflammatory response that makes the blood more prone to form clots that can cause heart attacks.
Yeah, I remember when he died, everybody thought that that was amazing. This guy was supposed to be one of the most fit marathoners, wrote the book on it and everything, and died just out for a run.
I know. I tell you, sitting on my butt on the couch, probably a lot healthier for me.
There you go.
Now, back in 2001, I think it was, there was a gentleman who drank water every 2 miles, mm-hmm. and he dressed lightly in 50-degree weather, and yet a heat stroke killed him near the finish line.
Really?
Yes, indeed. Do you know what his body temperature was when he died?
Heat stroke, I'm thinking, is probably over 105.
That's right, 107 degrees.
Wow.
107 degrees. And actually now, they started up very early in the morning. They started up about 7:30 in the morning. But even then, in the cool weather, some runners suffer heat stroke, which is caused by dehydration, and the runner doesn't actually produce enough sweat to keep cool, and then you suffer headaches, dizziness, disorientation, fatigue. And of course, the best way to avoid that is to drink plenty of water.
Yeah,
right?
But you were saying before that someone had passed away because they drank too much water.
That's right. Water intoxication. In 1998, a marathon runner by the name of Kelly Barrett, a young lady, became disoriented around the 24th mile, and she went into a cardiac arrest, apparently from drinking too much, and she died, unfortunately, 3 days later.
From drinking too much water.
That's right. And the reason for that is because excessive water dilutes the blood, and then the concentration of sodium in the blood drops leads to a swelling of the brain, which could be fatal. And a couple of other people have done the same thing, dying from drinking too much water. And that was in Boston and mm-hmm. the Big Sur marathons. So I'm telling you right now, unless you are fit, healthy, and willing to risk your life, the couch is the place for you.
Well, the marathon also had... I was watching it this morning, and they were talking about that they hit their cap, the most runners they could take, 6 months ago.
That's right. And you know what that was? 37,500 people.
Yeah. So. I was going to say 40, because that's what they said today.
No.
But
he
was probably rounding it up for the TV.
Well, do you want to know who won today?
Yes.
It was a Kenyan battle for first and second. Gentleman by the name of Robert Cheriot, I think I'm pronouncing that right, won the today's Chicago Marathon, October the 22nd, but unfortunately, he slipped and banged his head near the finish line, and although he finished, he had to be taken away in a wheelchair.
Oh my
this goodness. Is dangerous. This is dangerous
it
stuff.
Is. Oh my God.
I tell you, he was down there. He was down for several minutes after hitting his head. And he had to be taken into hospital for a precautionary exam. And a painful ending to a race. Do you know, and it was 2 hours, 20 minutes, and 42 seconds.
It takes me longer than that to get to work.
Oh, that could be. Now, in the women's area.
I did catch part of that. They were neck and neck. One and two were right next to each other when I was watching.
Really? Well, it was another lady from Africa who won that. Ethiopian Bahani Aderi. I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm not very up on my African names. Won the women's race in 2 hours, 20 minutes, and 42 seconds.
Wow.
And I'm just reading here the news update. You are correct. More than 40,000 runners were in blustery winds and 40-degree temperatures. That's 40 degrees Fahrenheit. For anybody who's listening who uses centigrade, I have no idea what it is, but it's bloody cold, I can tell you that.
You bet. Wow.
So there you go. I think that's our look at the Chicago Marathon, something that I don't think you're going to catch me doing too soon.
Me neither. Sounds too dangerous.
Yes, I know. I think actually we're getting kicked out of this pub.
Oh, man, they're like...
Closing time at the Brit and Yankee. Now, we're in... This is exciting news. We're actually in negotiations with our musical director to get a permanent pub band and some good original music. And if we don't get original music, we'll steal it.
All right.
So stay tuned for more of that. As I mentioned, we're looking to get our resident beer expert involved all the way from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So it's exciting times for us coming up. So, Lingo, where can folks find more information in the show notes?
They can go to www.thebritandyankee.com. If you have any comments, questions, threats, email them to usbrit@thebritandyankee.com or any invitations to parties to lingo@thebritandyankee.com.
So please, come and join us for another round of pints and some friendly conversation down at the Brit and Yankee. But now it's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from him.
Goodbye. Bye. Oh, blimey, we're done. Can we drink up our pints and go home now?
Yeah, I think I'll grab one for the gutter.
One for the gutter? Oh, that's a good right. All right, maybe I'll have one too. You persuaded me, twisted my arm.
This podcast was recorded without the aid of a safety net and with the assistance of Audacity Software and Podcast Station Software. Please visit audacity.sourceforge.net and www.podcaststation.com for more information. Opinions and views expressed on this podcast are absolutely ridiculous and you should pay no attention to them whatsoever.